Before I read some scriptures, we've already, and we're not repeating, we're just like pushing the pause button when you pause something and letting it continue. If we don't get this message deep in our heart, living in days that are marked by situations like we're seeing, no one can promise. In fact, they're telling mothers, as I said before, and dads, don't be afraid to send your children to school. Send your children to school. Mothers and fathers, I think the superintendent in here in Florida may have made a statement to moms and dads that if you have concerns, call the principal of the school, talk to them, have a dialogue and a discussion about what steps are being taken. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no principal of any school in this state or any other that can say if somebody wants to come here and do harm to your children, we have them completely covered. You can rest assured. Without God, we're without hope in this present world. And it's getting to the place that the government can't give us hope in the sense of absolute security. Amen. They can't promise us that. They can't promise there will not be another war. They can't promise there will not be another event. Did you know that they cannot promise that we won't see a terrorist act here? In fact, there is preparation being made in the event because we don't want to be unprepared if we have another terrorist event here in America. It did happen, and there's no one in the government that can tell us it will not happen again. They can't give us that kind of hope. Only God offers that kind of assurance. Can you say amen? If your hope isn't in God today, then you're going to end up hopeless before it's over. If your hope isn't in the Lord, you're going to be susceptible to give in and give up. And when people become helpless, they become reckless. They do. When they feel helpless and hopeless, then they do these things that they would never do on another occasion if they had some hope. For someone to walk, I'm going to submit to you, and I'm not a clinical psychologist, but I'm going to submit to you. Amen. In the Bible talks about man's minds and the things that trouble mankind and what happens to people who live in the pressure of a fallen world. If this young man, and you expect to see someone who is evil, who looks the epitome of evil, someone that just appears menacing. But when you look at this young man, you do not see what you would normally consider menacing or a threat. Because it wasn't on the outside where this evil was existing. It was on the inside. And when someone does an act like this and then turns the gun on themselves and kills themselves to seal this thing that they've done, Then I can guarantee you, here is a young man that was hopeless. Life to him at 20 years of age became hopeless. 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 Without God and without hope. In what world? This present world, this fallen world. To be without hope in a fallen world like this. People are going to do reckless things. That's why the Bible said in the last days, perilous times would come. The word perilous is a word that was used another place in the Bible. Talking about the two demoniacs, it said they were fierce men. That's the word for perilous. They were fierce. They were demonized. And the reason perilous times are here is because we have pushed God out and created a vacuum that Satan and his minions have filled.
Amen.
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 There's a spiritual aspect to these things. And the church, by and large, is materialistic. The message of a big portion of the church world, particularly the so-called spirit-filled portion of the church world, and if anybody ought to know better, it's the people that are full of the Holy Ghost, because He knows better. Can you say, man, believe me, He knows better. That's why the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can you say, man? I am convinced there are people that may talk in tongues, but they are not filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because if they were, their message would change. Their motive would change. Can you say, man, their values would change? Can you say, man, we would get a message to stir the church, to warn the church, to wake up the church. Hallelujah. It wouldn't have much to do with this material world, but it would reveal that spiritual realm, praise God. We begin to put our armor on and become soldiers of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? In hallelujah. Instead of just like the world, going after the things of the world. It's a rhetorical question that was asked. Is this such a time to go after gold and silver? In a time like this, in the perilous time that marks the end time, is this such a time to go after gold and silver? If it is not, and it's a rhetorical question, we know it's not. This is a time to seek the Lord till He come and reign righteousness. This is the time to intercede. This is the time to rise up. Hallelujah. Take our stand as soldiers of the cross. This is a time to be alerted, to be forewarned. And yet many messages continually talk about the material world. And I'm going to tell you something. A mother that lost a daughter or a son, all the riches of this world, they wouldn't trade that child. Amen. Riches are no comfort in a time like this. Wealth is no comfort in a time like that. Can you say, man, the only comfort is in the one we should be looking to all along, and that's God. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Let me read something from Times Square Church in New York City. A church that preaches a very straight gospel and has 7,000 in membership. We started talking about if nobody goes with me, I'm going to follow Jesus. Well, down through the years, I've had people I thought were going with me and have fallen away and went back. But I'm going to follow Jesus. I've got that Joshua 24:15 attitude. Amen. If you feel the God that your fathers compromised and served on the other side of Jordan, those pagan gods, if you feel their gods, then serve them. Amen. Don't try to straddle the fence. Can you say amen? But if the Lord be God, serve Him. And he said, you know something? My commitment is not based on what everybody else does. I really don't know what y'all, everybody say y'all. Y'all. Amen. We in the South. We can say that down here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Told a waitress the other day, amen. I said, you know what? I wanted that omelet. And she said, what do you want? I said, cackle fruit and Georgia ice cream. And she looked at me and said, cackle fruit? I said, eggs. Where are you from? Can you say amen? And Georgia ice cream. I said, that's grits, my dear. Amen. Listen, we're in the South. And here in the South, we understand what y'all mean. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, I don't care what y'all do. I do care, but it isn't going to affect what I'm going to do. If it seems good to you to serve those false gods, then serve them. Don't try to be a covenant man, a covenant woman. Amen. Serve those pagan gods. If it seemed good to you to bow to them, then bow to them. Make up your mind. Choose you this day. He put the line in the sand. He gave the challenge. Can you say amen? Choose you this day, not tomorrow, not someday out there. Right now's the time to make your calling and election sure. Can you say amen? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Amen. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? No turning back. If none go with me, still I will follow. If none, look at the empty. Now, some people got legitimate reasons for me. Some people are flat out backslid. I'm not going to cover it up and candy coat it.
Amen.
Backslid. They don't want to be here and worship God at Christmas. They don't want to be here with the brethren at Christmas. They don't want to hear the word and magnify Jesus at Christmas. They're caught up in the world. Oh, I would call them worldly Christians, but Vance Havner corrected me. He said, you might as well talk about a heavenly devil. Can you say, man, this is what you call an oxymoron. This is a paradox. This is something that these two words won't fit together. Amen. You're not of the world. Can you say, man, you're in it, but you're not of it. And those that have found themselves entangled again need to come out and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. Amen. And touch not the unclean thing. For what fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Literally, listen, Belial is a word that speaks of the devil himself. You can't blend. This is like oil and water. You can't blend. You're either of your father God or you're of your father the devil, but you're not somewhere in the middle. We're living in what is called perilous times. It means it's dangerous. Another word that it encapsulates is outrageous. Standing in a 7-Eleven yesterday and two headlines, Tampa Times and Tampa Tribune, of two papers that were in there. One of them said, horror. Horror. It's outrageous. Horror. And the other said, unthinkable. 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 And you know something? We're slowly being desensitized to horrible, unthinkable things happening in our time. To where church is just another exercise in religious routine and ritual. Tears in the eyes of our president. But many preachers don't have any tears. They can't even get their mind off money in a time of trouble and crisis. Even last Easter, resurrection, got a letter from a major ministry with tens of thousands of followers, and the letter is saying that a window in heaven is opened up over this Easter season for some kind of triple blessing. But you've got to get the money in before that window of opportunity closes. And we're laughing because it's stupid. And guess what? Tens of thousands of Christians are following, supporting stupid ministers. And if it was just stupid, I've heard there's no cure for that. It's not just stupid. It's not just how stupid it all is. It's how spiritually blind they have become. And if the blind, and they're doing it today, lead the blind. Everybody ends up in the ditch together. And the church needs to get out of that ditch of spiritual blindness, hallelujah, and realize that we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. We have a message of hope to a hopeless world. Amen. And we have the testimony of Christ, and we're to be instant in season, out of season, being ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in us. Because it isn't because our government has given us hope. It isn't because, amen, the circumstances of this fallen world in the last days gives us any hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope comes from the Lord. And we are prisoners of hope if your trust is in Christ. Can you say amen? There's hope for the lost man. There's hope for the backslider. Oh, I'm praying for backslid people. Hard-hearted, gospel-resistant. It's easier to win the lost than it is a backslider. Because you can't tell the backslider nothing he don't know. Can you say amen? Amen. I saw a man, my brother in Christ, lead a lost person to Christ at the restaurant. And the lost person was glad to receive Jesus. The backslider has had Jesus and has decided not to follow him anymore and any further, and tried to fill that place that Christ once held with the things of this world. And you know where it's going to end up. We all know where it's going to end up. There's no good ending to that story. The only good ending to that story is that they come back to Jesus. Hallelujah, and get God's restorative work going on. But I have hope for them, because the covenant God of Israel said something in the Old Testament about the backslider. He said, they walked away, but we still married. Can you say, man, I'm married to the backslider. Hallelujah. That means you can quit God, but God has not quit you. He's not through. Hallelujah. I don't know what it'll take to get them back, but God says, I'm not going to quit them. Hallelujah. This is a covenant, praise God, that you've entered into. You can quit the covenant if you want to, but I'm not a quitter. I'm a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. Can you say, man? If you return to me, I'm going to return to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's hope for the backslidden, hard-hearted people, because God is still on the throne and the hound of heaven is still here in this earth, the mighty Holy Spirit. Wow, hallelujah. It's no secret. He would tell you, I drifted away. I just found myself drifting away. But God didn't give up on him. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? I'm married to the backslider. He told ancient Israel, there's a Hebrew word that's hard to pronounce, and it meant divorced and abandoned. And he said, you shall no more be called that word. Because they looked around and they had walked away from God, and God couldn't legitimately bless them and defend them till they came back. But they came back. And when they came back, he came back. And he restored. Amen. He restored. He restored. He restored. Hallelujah. And he said, you're not going to be called that Hebrew name for divorced and abandoned. You're going to be called Beulah. Everybody say Beulah. See, when we talk about Beulah Land, we think of heaven. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. Beulah Land is right here when people come back to God and renew that covenant of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Thou shalt be called Beulah. Say it with me, Beulah. You know what Beulah means? It means married. 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 See, this is covenant language. Marriage is supposed to be a covenant. Can you say amen? God is a God of covenant. The Old Testament is the old covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant. When it said, this is the New Testament in my blood, the Greek word is covenant. Amen. This is a covenant established by my blood. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I have hope today, because I have a covenant with Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a covenant with God. I don't have some wishy-washy, Mickey Mouse, ritualistic, religious relationship with him. I'm in covenant with him. We don't understand covenant. We don't get it in America. But in some of the more ancient cultures, covenant is understood purely and very strongly. The missionary that went to Africa to pave the way for every mission work that's now going on, and really the reason that revival is occurring in Africa right now, is because of these early missionaries that went to Africa. Remember the older missionary, the famous one? Livingston. David Livingston went to Africa. And you know what he did when he would meet a tribe? He would go to the chief. He would try to come into some kind of relationship with him, lead him to Christ, and then say, I want to come into a covenant with you. And the way they came into covenant is he would make a cut on his arm. And the chief, now this is not like the Indian thing where they mingle their blood. He'd make a covenant, he'd make a cut on his arm. And the chief would make a cut on his arm. And they didn't want the scar to go away. They wanted a scar to stay right there. They wanted a big scar right where that cut was made. So they would put something in it to cause it to scar. Hopefully be raised enough to be clearly, immediately visible and recognizable. And when he went to another tribe and they just wanted to kill him, you know what he did? He rolled up his sleeve. And they saw that scar that said, whoa, he's cut the covenant with somebody. That's why they called it cut the covenant. Can you say, man, he's cut the covenant? You know what that meant? You heard him. There is a chief of a tribe that says, you heard him. I take it as an act of war against me. Wow. So it's more than just killing this little missionary guy. This other tribe is going to come down on us, and we're going to have to go to war with him if we hurt him. So he said, since we can't hurt him, then the best thing we can do to assure our peace and safety is to come in covenant with him. Come on, this is true. So they cut the covenant with him. Now he got two chiefs and two tribes. He got down there around some real mean people that really wanted to do him evil and harm. He got six of them big scars on his forearm, and they said, whoa, wait a minute. Can you say, man, he's in covenant with six tribes. We better let him alone. Let him go his way and do whatever job he thinks God sent him on. Can you say, man, when a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. It's not that they loved him and hugged his neck. They just knew we better not do him any harm. Can you say, man, glory be to God. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody don't love me. Everybody don't want to hug my neck. But I am in covenant with the Most High God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say, man? Amen. Some people forsake me. Amen. But he said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all of the way, even to the end of the age. And though this church flourish or though it fall, and I believe it's going to flourish, because I'm going to tell you something. God is not done. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have a covenant. Can you say amen? I thought I needed everybody. I'm finding out I just need him. Amen. Hallelujah. I want everybody. But push come to shove, it's going to get between you and him, not you and them. And if I depended on them instead of him, I wouldn't even be trying to preach, let alone preach here. But I'm not dependent on them. I'm dependent on him. Can you say, man, hallelujah, God raised me up from a near fatal stroke, amen, that could have paralyzed me or taken me home. Amen, I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid of going home. And there's grace if I was paralyzed. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen, it made me realize time is short. I want to use it for my Father's work. I want to use it for his kingdom. Can you say, man, I don't want to play church with time that's left. This is not a playhouse. This is a house of prayer. And that's why some people come and don't stay long, because we won't play the game. We won't pet the flesh. We won't accommodate it. Amen. The attitudes that are wrong. God says they're wrong, and we're not going to say they're right. Can you say, man, people need to get right with God so God can keep the covenant, because they need the blessing. They need the protection. They need the provision. They need his covering. Hallelujah. In Times Square in New York, there's hopelessness. That's why there's such addiction. There's so many people dying with AIDS in Times Square because of drug abuse and illicit sexual encounters. And AIDS is incurable. If you're rich, like some of the ball players, you can get special drugs that Medicare won't pay for and maybe live longer. But they're hopeless. And when they get hopeless, they say, why try to live a healthy life? Let me just go on out here and drink myself to death or shoot up. Who cares if I die? I'm a dead person anyway. Hopelessness sets in where there's broken people that are helpless in and of themselves to change anything. Here's what Dave Wilkerson said before he passed away about some of the letters and some of the information that come into to where he pastored in Times Square. He said, recently a distraught sister, this is a sister, in the Lord, because it doesn't just happen to the world. You can defer hope as a Christian. You can get under that atmosphere because it's like a cloud that hangs over the world. And this is from a sister in Christ. Listen to it. She said, and I quote, I am terrified. I think it would be wonderful if a hydrogen bomb fell on us, especially on me and my family. It would be over for us in such a hurry. We'd be with Jesus. I'm a retired widow with no man in our family. I lost my husband to cancer. I just got out of the hospital and am recovering from a broken back. I have two unmarried daughters, one with health problems who hasn't worked in 2 years. We've suffered terribly for the past 16 years. Members of our fellowship are being persecuted, and my friends are all suffering unmercifully. You can hear the despair. Amen. Fear and anxiety are my lot in life. Mr. Wilkerson, we are hurting. Is there no hope for the bride of Christ? Please answer. You see, when we deal with hopelessness in the world, that's one thing. When we deal with hopelessness in the church, that's a whole other situation. When people get hopeless, they get reckless with their soul. My uncle was going up the ladder of importance within his denomination. He was pastor of a Church of God out of Lee College and Cleveland, Tennessee. Spirit-filled. In fact, he, on a couple of occasions, had lunch with David Wilkerson. He had seen demons cast out. And his hope was, I'm going to be very important within the church hierarchy. And every denomination has one. Talked to a man recently, his desire, his greatest desire is to become a bishop of a denomination. But there was a bishop that is 80-something years old. And he was hoping to succeed him to become a bishop himself. But the bishop that was in his 80s is in perfect health. And he wants it now. So he started his own a break off. You wonder how all these denominations get here. Well, here's one of the ways. He started his own. And see, it's his ambition driving him. It's not his compassion for souls and broken people. It's his spiritual ambition to become high up in the ranks, well respected among his peers. That's the wrong reason to preach the gospel. Because if it's, you're driven by personal ambition, I'll guarantee you, you're not moved with compassion upon the lost, the dying, and the hurting. So he broke off and started his own denomination as a splinter group from that denomination. And guessed who he appointed as the bishop? Instead of the Father, Son, but Holy Ghost with him, it was me, myself, and I. Can you say amen? It's a trinity, but it's the unholy trinity. But he's got the title today. He's out there somewhere. He's got a following. Because he is the bishop now. The other fellow can live forever. I got what I wanted. Somewhere in my uncle's life, somewhere the shift came from the work of the gospel. No matter who gets the credit or who gets the allocates to going up within the denomination, he began to achieve. And one of the things he achieved was being an overseer, a district overseer, the youngest man to ever hold that position because he had attained it so quickly. But when he broke, he broke. When he hit bottom, he hit bottom. He hit bottom spiritually while at the pinnacle of success in his denominational quest. Can you say, man, he lost his relationship with Jesus while pastoring one of the biggest churches within that denomination at that time. They're bigger now. Back before the mega churches were here, when you pastor a church of 800 people, that was a huge church in those days. He had trouble in his family. He had trouble in his physical body. He had trouble in his church. And he became hopeless. He lost hope. But he was still in a pulpit. But he had lost hope. And people do reckless things. If there's no hope, what have I got to lose? God hasn't healed this thing in my family. God hasn't. See, God hasn't healed this thing in my family. There's a pastor's wife. They had church problems and pressures, and it comes with it. And she prayed and prayed, and the pressure stayed and stayed. And she left her husband. Ran off with a sinner. For a boyfriend that didn't know Christ and didn't want to know him. I'm telling you, people do reckless things when they lose hope. That's why this message is not something to pet us. It's something to tell us how desperate we are in our need for it. Amen. What have I got to lose? God didn't answer the prayer. So she ended up in a bar, a hopeless alcoholic. Trying to drink away the pain. God isn't going to take it. I'm going to do something reckless. Do you know when Abraham lost hope of God giving him the promise of the covenant through his seed? He did something reckless, didn't he? He had to lose hope before he did something reckless. And you know what he did that was so reckless? He tried to figure it out himself. And I'm going to tell you something that's reckless. Can you say, man, if I were an insurance company, I wouldn't insure you if you were hopeless. Because you're reckless. Can you say amen? What did he do? He said, I'll bring a concubine in here. Have the baby by the concubine. Give it to Sarah and that'll make it work. No, it didn't make it work. It made it worse is what it did. He kept his hope in God. And finally, but the good news is Abraham came back to hope. The Bible said in the New Testament against hope, he believed in hope. Did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, nor his own body, but that was spoken unto him through thy seed. Amen. Against hope, he believed in hope. My uncle became hopeless. He became reckless. The first sign of recklessness was he began to look to the world instead of God. God isn't going to fix this. See, hope will cause you to be patient. Hope will keep you waiting on the Lord. Hopelessness will cause you to do something in your own strength and do something reckless to try to solve the situation. He had been prayed. He hurt his back. Some situation in his back and the pain was constant. He went to a doctor and got pain pills. The pain pills worked not only to help his back, but they worked also to help him feel kind of numb to his marital problems and his church problems. He became addicted to prescription medication. You don't have to look far to find someone who is addicted to prescription medications. You don't have to go down this road and look at one of these houses with the boom box, amen, and somebody that's standing on. You don't have to go back to Sulphur Springs to find someone addicted. You don't have to go downtown Tampa. Can you say amen? You don't have to walk down this street. You can go to church and find somebody addicted. Why are they addicted? Because hope. A prayer has been prayed. The prayer didn't immediately get answered. And we became reckless. Can you say, man, we became reckless. We looked for an answer somewhere else and found ourselves looking to the world for what God is supposed to be our source to do for us. And I'm not saying that I don't take an aspirin for a headache. And I'm not saying it's a lack of faith. Because if I got an aspirin, I'll take that aspirin. But I'm well aware that if an aneurysm's about to occur, the aspirin isn't going to help it. In fact, it's going to thin my blood and make it even worse when it happens. I'm well aware that God is my source. I'll use whatever is medically there, but I do not want man to become my arm, flesh to become my arm. Because when he comes out and shakes his head, I have nowhere else to go. Can you say, man, I've got somewhere to go. I've got someone to go to. I have hope. I'm in covenant. You can't see it, but it's there. There's a mark on me. There's a mark on you. Holy Spirit put a covenant mark on you. The Bible said we are sealed. We are sealed. Say it with me. We're sealed. I'm not talking about the good housekeeping seal or the sugar crisp seal. Can you say amen or bear or whatever? Listen to me. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. God said, I'm in covenant with you until you're completely through this fallen world. Amen. Until death has been conquered, until you are in heaven with me and we come back to rule and reign. I'm in covenant with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have hope. My uncle, who cast out devils, led people to Christ, baptized believers, preached the gospel in a Holy Ghost-filled, sanctified denomination. Don't believe it? Just ask them. Amen? Became addicted initially to prescription drugs. Then he said he couldn't sleep, and the doctor was happy to write a prescription, not only for painkillers, but for Valium to help with his nerves and something else to help him sleep. And now he's got a cocktail of prescription drugs. And he's coping, and he's preaching. His family finally disintegrates. When the family disintegrated, he had an overseer come to him. I told him to pick himself up, get himself together, or get out of the denomination. And then that broke his faith in that was his goal. Now his denomination isn't helping him, but ashamed of him. Where do you go now? Where do you go now? Everybody say without hope, people become reckless. They become reckless. They look for someone or something else to take the place. And they do it within the church, not just without the church. That's why there's a warning to everyone sitting here. Alcohol is out there waiting for you to make it your hope. I can get through this if I can get numb enough to the hurt. There's oil and wine in the Holy Spirit. Don't give up hope. He can pour it on you. You're not beyond his reach. Heaven is not brass. God is not deaf. Can you say, man, we have need of patience. We need that hang on faith, and you need hope to hang on. Can you say, man, that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise, the promise, the promise. You have need of what? Patience. How long am I going to have to wait? As long as it takes. You can't put a limit on it. You've got to say, God, your grace is sufficient. Until the answer comes, I'm going to hang on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hang on. Just a little while longer. For he that shall come, will come. This is vitally important. My uncle pastored. If you heard him preach, it'd be a good anointed message. He spoke another tongue. He had the Holy Spirit. The issue in the church today is not whether or not you have the Holy Spirit. The issue in the church today is, does the Holy Spirit have you? Can you say amen? Because you having the Holy Spirit means you're still in control. But if the Holy Spirit has you, it means he's in control. and everywhere in your Bible that you find filled with or full of the Holy Spirit. It is interpreted one way in the Greek, filled with and controlled by. And if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, He's going to testify of Him. When He comes, He'll testify of me. He'll say, you don't have to go, amen, to that drink. You don't have to go to that drug. You can go to Christ. He will point you to Jesus. Can you say amen? And He will tell you something you need to know. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And if this Jesus of yesterday could break the chains that held the demoniac of the Gadarenes in spiritual bondage, He can break the chains that hold you and me today. Can you say amen? Amen.
Hallelujah!
Woo! Hope deferred makes the heart sick. People become reckless. People that have given up hope on their marriage, hope on their relationship with Christ, hope in the church. I'll tell you, the life they're living right now is reckless. They're making decisions that take us back. We said, how can someone with such knowledge do such things? Because they've given up on God. They've given up on God. They've given up on their children getting saved. They've given up on their marriage ever working. And they're Satan's target right now. Satan's target. The pastor's wife that left her husband and hooked up with a sinner man, ended up a hopeless alcoholic in a bar. This woman that sat in church and gave God glory now sits on a bar stool and drinks till she can't stand up. This is important stuff we're talking about here today. How we need to know the strength of this covenant, the God of covenant, the power of this covenant. How we need to make up our mind that we're going to trust God. How we need to get that go back attitude out of our mind. Can you say, man, if God don't do something soon, I'm going to do something. Well, what you're going to do is going to shipwreck your life. And the devil's counting on you giving up on God. Because he knows if you do, he can make any suggestion to you and you'll grab it because you become reckless. Can you say amen? And you become restless on top of that. My uncle went from a combination of prescription drugs, and the way he would do it, because doctors are supposed to be responsible in writing these prescriptions, he'd go to a doctor and tell him what was wrong. The doctor would write him a prescription. He might have to drive 30 miles and go to another doctor, tell him what was wrong. He would write him a prescription. He'd get a prescription filled at that drugstore over here. Now, that was before computers tied a bunch of this in. But he would drive 30 miles away and get another one. And I'm going to tell you something. If it's legitimately needed to help until God comes through, I'm not against anything. But when people start moving away from hope in God and relying 100% on the doctor and the prescription, that is addiction. It's just as real, powerful, and binding as any addiction in this world. It is in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It is Satan's tool to bind people that have lost hope in God and they've taken things into their own hands. And that's why we become reckless. You say, how can they do that? Because they're reckless now.
It's a reckless thing they're doing. Amen.
Trying to find what they need. When they give up on God, they have to turn to the world.
Yes,
and the devil's waiting. He don't care whether you go to church or not. Just defer hope.
Yeah.
Quit believing God. And you watch what he does. He'll offer you something in place of that hope. He's got something. And he'll offer it to you. And if the hopelessness is deep enough, people take what he offers. Amen? They take what he offers. And he brings them into bondage. My uncle went from prescription drug addiction. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take it till your back gets better. What I'm saying, speaking of backs getting better, this testimony just blew me away. I love it when God just does something so fantastic. There's a church that broke up because of sexual sin in the pulpit, and the church got discouraged. They got discouraged because this person they had such confidence in had failed so miserably. Then they just give up on it. They locked the door to the church. The husband of one of the key people in the church was a long-distance truck driver. He was in Texas at a truck stop. And after he had eaten and drank his coffee and headed back to his truck, another trucker said, "Here, why don't you listen to these?" Back in the day of the cassette tapes, he handed him a brown paper bag with 21 cassette tapes. The Holy Church of God, Tampa, Florida, Pastor Robert A. Venable. He had backslidden because, hey, if the preacher can do all this, then why should I hold the line? Somewhere between Texas and his home in Kentucky, he front slid. I told you there's hope for the backslider. Then you say amen. If you can backslide, you can front slide. If you're away, you can come back. Hallelujah. He listened to 21 sermons. And they must have been hot. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And when he got back to Kentucky, he was on fire for the Lord. And his wife saw a front-slidden husband on fire for God, and she got on fire for God. That's enough to stimulate your faith. Can you say amen? She called me from Louisville, Kentucky, telling me this story. Said, I had a time getting your phone number. I had to pray to get your phone number. I said, I'm so glad you got it. Hallelujah. I need to hear these things. The power of the gospel. The power of God. It gives us hope. The power of God to change hopeless situations. She said, so we begin to call friends over to our house. Church is padlocked, but we missed the Bible. We missed the Word of God. And I called a bunch of our friends over. We had 12 and then 15 and 25 in our living room. We put on the tape. Then afterwards we prayed. Thing was, they had to bring her out because she had a back. Something had went terribly wrong and she was in bed with it and couldn't sit up or stand up over 5 minutes at a time. She said one night we were listening to the tape and I hollered at him and said, right now, come and pray for me. Hope must have came alive in me because faith reached out to put substance to that was hoped for. Right. Hallelujah. Come and pray for me right now. And they ran in and gathered around the bed and prayed for her. She said, Pastor, I got up. God healed my back. Can you say amen? I can't take credit for that except that I proclaimed this kind of God to her. I preached Jesus the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know this benign Jesus, this impotent Jesus, this has been, used to was Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. And she said, we begin to pray. And she said, I just want you to know, for the last 6 weeks, you have been our pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she said, we have prayed, and God sent us another minister, and he's on fire for the Lord too. And said, we unpadlocked our church, and people that were scattered everywhere came back. See, hope changes everything. Amen. Somebody say, hope changes everything. Hallelujah. I ministered in, and as we close today, I ministered in the prison system in Tampa, Florida, because the assistant warden attended for about 3 or 4 years our church. So I didn't get what the normal ministry gets as a prison ministry, because you go in on Sunday with guards into an area where people on good behavior get to come. Well, people with bad behavior need to get saved too.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. So what the fact is, they need it worse. So they gave me a carte blanche. They gave me a card. They blood typed me in case that, oh, they told me if you're held hostage, we don't negotiate. So that I'd have my shield of faith when I went in to my situation, because there weren't going to be no guards to monitor anything. And they took my blood type in case that I was injured, that they didn't have to do that. They could get me into the hospital and immediately give me however many pints it takes after you've been cut up or whatever, or beat up. So here I go, blood typed and signing a document of release of responsibility for my personal safety. Can you say amen? And they just break all the cells. And way in the back, they opened up a holding cell. And everybody that wants to go to Bible study can come. And some of these guys that wanted to smoke their pot without the guards around, they toked up as soon as they got in there to the holding cell. And some of these guys that had vendettas against one another, but they were in different cells. we got in there, and I said, let's bow our heads and pray. The doors were electronically open. They electronically closed. There was no guards nowhere. If you've ever been in some of the jail systems, people do have radios, play them full blast. And it wasn't nothing but hard rock and hard country and hard whatever music playing all over the place. You could scream to the top of your lungs. Be hard for anybody to hear you. They didn't even have a video monitor in this room. This is back in the day. And so I was very prayerful. Everybody say prayerful. I was prayerful. Lord, you're my safety. I'm in covenant with God. You've got to understand, I'm in here on business for the King. This ain't going to profit my church. This is for His kingdom. Ain't going to make me no big shot. But this is for the souls that He came to save. Hallelujah. Safest place in the world is on business for the King. Can you say, man, no matter where it takes you? So anyway, I began to pray and I heard, one man had knocked another man down to the floor and jumped on him, was pounding him in the face. And then they rolled over and the other guy pounded him in the face. And now there's blood flying. I mean, this day we didn't know about AIDS and the liver stuff and, you know, all the hepatitis and all. I mean, you know, I didn't go in wearing rubber gloves and a face shield because I didn't expect a bloody fight. But it came. The devil's real. And when the gospel is preached in power, believe me, there's another power going to oppose it. But if we stand our ground, He's going to lose that battle. Amen? God is greater. And I saw His greatness that day. Glory be to God. Amen. And this fight ensued, and I hollered out, and I prayed first to the Lord, and then I hollered it. I said, if somebody gets killed in this cell today, they'll never let us have another Bible study, and that's just what the devil wants. And they jumped down. The inmates jumped down and separated these two guys. And one of them went over to the door and kept screaming until a guard came. When the guard come in and saw the blood, he took these two guys out. There was blood on the floor. And he says, are you ready to leave? I said, how much time have I got left? Because they allotted me an hour and 15 minutes. He said, you got 15 minutes left. I said, may I have them? And he looked at me like, what for? This is chaos. Why do you want to stay in here for now? Why don't you just leave this mess? In that 15 minutes, an inmate came in with a bucket and mop. And he just mopped up the blood that was on the floor, wrung it out, and left. We had about 7 or 8 minutes left. And I told them, I said, if you don't believe that the devil wants to destroy your soul, here we are to talk about Jesus and look what's going on, to distract us from hearing the gospel that can change everything. And the Holy Spirit came, and I felt Him coming. He's the only one that can bring order out of chaos. Can you say amen like that? He can. Oh, he doesn't need conditions to be just right. Can you say, man, he brought order into that place. He brought a consciousness of the spiritual conflict between light and darkness. He exposed an enemy for what he was through that fight. But he also focused us on the cross where Jesus died to save the lost. Can you say, man, hallelujah. At the end of our time, I saw it was gone. I said, but would you bow your heads? How many of you won't let the devil defeat God's purpose here today? How many of you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? And 32 hands went up out of about 40 people. You say, Brother Venable, that's just jailhouse religion. They'll just say anything when they're in there. Oh, wait a minute. You haven't heard the rest of the story. Even if it was jailhouse religion, we're to throw the net. We catch. I made a deal with God when I started ministering in the prison system. Lord, we'll catch them. You clean them. We can't do that work in the heart, but we can throw the net. Can you say amen? We might get some trout and some bass and some flounder and some blowfish and porcupine fish. Can you say amen? But we won't get anything if we don't throw that net. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the gospel is the net, hallelujah. Somebody's got to throw it. How thus shall Obabahasitiandarabaroshalamakitara. Hallelujah. My last day preaching in the prison system. Signing Bibles. You see, suddenly, hope came alive. Hope came alive. Hope came alive because of Jesus. And the man that looked like the most menacing guy in the bunch. Cold gray eyes that looked like they could look right through you. He came to have me sign his Bible. I'd given everybody a Bible, a cheap Bible, but a good Bible. And he said, would you sign my Bible, preacher? And I was looking up to see those cold gray eyes, and I didn't see it. I didn't see cold, gray, hopeless, menacing, reckless eyes. I saw softness. By the way, this guy, my first day in there, the guy that's supposed to introduce me, I said, I was there to observe and see how to do it because I never preached in the jail system. So this guy had a jail ministry. He was teaching in the Bible study on the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So he stood up and read, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm sitting there and said, this is going to be good. I myself would like to hear this. Praise God. And the guy in the back with the cold gray eyes raised his hand. And the guy leading looked at him. And he said, if I was meek in here, I'd be dead by morning. He said, Pastor Venable, would you like to address this? And I thought, no. But I knew what he was doing. It was a hard question. He going to lay it on me. So I got my baptism by fire. Can you say, man? That's, yeah, you now a prison minister. You're going to deal with these tough questions from these tough guys. Yeah, he sat down and looked at his Bible and didn't want to even look up anymore. And I was praying. You ever pray under your breath? And, you know, kind of in your mind. Help me, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come now, now. I need you now. But you know what happens? You know what happens when that happens? When you really depend on Him? He shows up. Can you say, man? I felt Him rise up in me, and I didn't feel Him 2 seconds before. I felt the Holy Ghost rise up on the inside. You see it when it happens to me. Praise God, it rose up on the inside of me. And I said, meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. Woo! You're going to follow Jesus. It's going to take a man. A kid can get drunk. A kid can curse. It's going to take a man to say no. It came to me. I'd been studying about the Arabian horses in the discipline. You know, the discipline thing? The fruit of the Spirit. Those Arabian horses that they use in battle to charge cannon fire. How they train them to not flinch in the face of cannon fire and death and chaos. They, one rider to one horse, And that rider to train that horse in those desert, arid countries will let them get half starved to death for water. Lead them within smell and sight of an oasis with cool water just waiting. Turn loose the reins. And if the horse bolts for that water without the master telling it to, that horse is unfit for battle. Because when the cannons fire and the chaos starts, that horse is going to throw you and run away. And you're going to die in battle because that horse is not obedient. But when that horse stands there and says, I want it so bad, but until he tells me, I'm not going to drink. And then you would say, okay, go ahead. That horse run, got that big drink, and come right back to his master. He's ready. He's ready. I said, folks, that's meekness. When you serve a master, it's not weakness. That's not a weak horse. That's a mighty war horse. Can you say, man, that you can take into battle? And I said, when you follow Jesus, you become a soldier of the cross of Christ. Can you say, man, you want to be a real man? Try following Jesus for a little while. Can you say, man, try saying no to the culture and to your friends and say, I got a different master now. I don't serve the devil. I serve the Lord. Hallelujah. At the end of that service, God took that question and that statement and gave us a harvest. And that man that asked the question was in line for me to sign his Bible. And here's what hope does in closing. I was signing his Bible. I looked up. I didn't see those cold gray eyes. I knew there'd been a change in him. Just by his countenance, I could tell there's a softness here. We know we've... Actually, he looked like he really loved me. How do you know you're passed from death to life? I've been baptized and go to the first church of what's happening now. There's a sign. There's several, but here's one of them. We know we pass from death to life, and that's what the new birth is. Because we what? We love the brethren. We love the brethren. That's why backsliders detach themselves from the brethren, because it... That's life outside the kingdom. That's not a kingdom thing. You don't know. The hand doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. The hand is saying to the foot, I don't want you. I don't want you. Listen very carefully. He looked in my eyes and he said, I'm on my way from here. I was here to get my final sentence. And the sentence has been passed. He said, I'm on my way to Rayford Penitentiary to spend the rest of my life. This is not jailhouse religion. Somebody said, if I act like I got religion and I'm going to change, the parole board will let me out. This is a guy with life without parole. But he's got that peace. He's got that hope radiating. And he said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison. But preacher, he looked me in the eyes again. He said, for the first time in my life, I'm a free man. Whom the Son sets free. Come on, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's free for real. He ain't fronting. Can you say, man? Oh, you can play religion. You can come to church with all of your bondage and chains and hopelessness, but you can also come to church and get a hold of hope, and hope can get a hold of you, and you can become a prisoner of hope. That's what we're praying for your brother. Today's his birthday. How old is he today? 57 today. Amen. Looks like there's no hope, but there is in Jesus Christ. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Going to celebrate it at the nursing home at 3. Is that correct? Glory to God. Amen. Because there's hope. There's hope. David Wilkerson said, this woman is just one among thousands who write us of their despair and hopelessness. We hear from so many who deeply love the Lord but live in situations and conditions that appear hopeless to them. They speak of dead-end marriages and health and family problems. They use such phrases as, there's no way out. I brought it on myself, and now I'm in a prison, stuck for life. God doesn't seem to hear me. Nothing ever changes. It goes from bad to worse. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. I wish the Lord would just come and get me out of this pit. I have a few good days, but then this feeling overwhelms me that I'm worthless, just doing nothing. That's in the church. That's in the real lives of people that attend church but have given up on God. How we need this revival. How we need this restoration. God is in covenant with those people. They need to figure that out. Can you say amen? And David Wilkerson went on to say, it has been said the only things worse than insanity are despair and hopelessness. But praise the Lord, we serve a God of hope. The Greek word for hope is elpo. Not alpo, that's for your doggy. This is for your spirit. Can you say amen? It means to look forward with pleasurable confidence and expectation. Can't go forward looking back. No hope! For this family. No hope for that person. No hope for our nation. Yes, there is. There's a God in heaven. And as long as there's a God in heaven, there's hope for you and me on earth. Amen. And we want to give you hope this Christmas. Amen. We want you to start believing for things that are so big, so hopeless, so impossible that when God comes through, not if, but when He comes through, it's going to bring such glory. It's going to bring such honor to His great name. Can you say, man? If you had asked me the first day in that prison, who is the most hopeless case in here? I'd say that guy right there with the cold gray eyes. Can you say, man? But if you asked me after the gospel of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit had a chance to work on him, I'd say right there's somebody that's going to win somebody else to Jesus in Rayford Prison. Can you say amen? What a wonderful God we serve today. I said, what a wonderful God that we serve today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. See if this will play. I'm not sure if it will, but if it will, everybody say this baby. It's all because of this baby that became a man. That went to the cross, that hung on it, died on it, was buried, rose up the third day, sat down at the right hand of God and is coming back again. And in the intermediate, in the median time, in the meantime, said, I will never leave you. Everybody take your sleeve and do this. Come on, I'm going to cut a covenant with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'm cutting a covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say cut the covenant. Oh, come on and hold it out. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's on there. You just can't see it. But God sees it. And somebody else knows it's on there too. The devil knows it's on there. Can you say amen? He's looking for whom he may devour. But there are some people down here that God said, keep your hands off of my property. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody shout victory in this place. Next Sunday night, 6 p.m., Plant City. It's free. Bring your immediate family with you. Praise God. Invite some people that ought to be here this morning. Just get them back to eat anyway and to love on them and to encourage them if they'll just come and allow us to do it. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm encouraged in the Lord this morning. Amen. Because this baby brought hope to this world. And he's still here bringing hope to this fallen world. Praise God. Let's give him praise today.